Well, good morning, and thanks for tuning in to the KRFY Morning Show. This is Wednesday, June 14th, 2017, and we're here live in the studios for the morning show. It's our weekly Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday community information and things like that kind of show. We have interviews and music and community events. I'm Susie Prez, one of the hosts, and hi, Chris Bessler.
Good morning, Susie. I'm your co-host this morning.
Yeah.
Chris Bessler, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. It's always good to have you across from me, smiling and encouraging. And we have a guest in the studio. We have Jeremy Grimm. He is the new
program director
of the Lohr Foundation out of the, it's a Rocky Mountain West Foundation. Good morning, Jeremy.
Good morning, Susie and Chris. It's great to be back in the studio and see you both.
Yeah, of course, Jeremy, you have a history here. You were the former city planner and community development director, and you were working more lately with Coachella. So folks, if you think you recognize his name, that's Jeremy Grimm there.
He's now the program director, officer for the Lohr Foundation. And we're going to hear all about that. It's very exciting. I'm so glad that you could make it up here with us this morning. But before we get to that, we have a few other things.
Yeah, tell us about the weather, which was... This morning, when I got up a little earlier than usual, beautiful, sunny, and then as I was riding my bike over here, already looking cloudy.
It changed. So you rode your bike all the way down to town?
No, just rode
from,
my bike
okay.
from the office.
So what we can expect today from the National Weather Service, currently 50 degrees out, mostly sunny, so that must be a few clouds are allowed, with highs near 66, south winds 8 to 11 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with lows around 46. Southwest winds 5 to 8 miles per hour. Becoming calm in the evening. Thursday, a 40% chance of rain after 11 a.m. Cloudy with highs near 65. New precipitation amounts less than 1/10 of an inch possible. And Thursday night, showers low around 51. And looking ahead, it looks like Saturday and Sunday, mostly sunny and partly sunny. Is that good enough?
Well, you know what? It sounds like typical June weather for this area. And a few more things going on outside. Sunrise this morning was at 4:44 a.m. It'll set tonight at 8:48 p.m. We're still gaining a little bit of daylight each day, but just a few minutes over the course of the last week. And the summer solstice is coming up in just a little more than a week. I think it's June 21st this year. So we're just about to the official start of summer. Lake Pend'Oreille, this is kind of unusual. It's actually dropped down 9/10 of a foot in the past 7 days. The lake level is currently at 2059.95 feet. So it's got about 2 feet to go to a full pool at 2062. And I think the level's been, they've been holding it down just a little bit because they still expect quite a bit of runoff to come down from the large snowpack we had. Stream flows, the Moyer River is flowing at 1710 CFS. It's actually down from 3100 CFS a week ago. Priest River is at 4730 cubic feet per second. That's down from 6000 a week ago. Both still really good levels for people that enjoy whitewater. But the rivers are dropping. The Moyer in particular is a spring runoff run for whitewater people. So if you want to get out on a river... and do some whitewater on the Moyer, you should get after it over the next couple of weeks. Other things going on around town, Susie?
Well, you know, KRFY just had, last weekend, had our annual membership drive. And you know that because you were here for part of it. And that was really big. And coming up is the CHAFE 150 Grand Fondo bike ride.
That's on Saturday.
Call it, Saturday.
So if you're out driving anywhere up Highway 95, Highway 2 over to Montana... down the Bull River Road, back on Highway 200,
bikes in the Sally everywhere. Valley.
There's going to be a lot of bikes out. Please drive cautiously.
And Ilana Westfield came in yesterday and said that their registration right now is up about 4%. They were hoping for 7%, but a lot of people register at the end, especially families for the 30-miler, which, by the way, KRFY has a refreshment station at the Pack River store. So you can stop by and say hi on our Over the River KRFY refreshment station.
And you don't have to be a rider to stop by and say hi.
You can stop by.
The Pack River store is really a nice mm-hmm. destination for
people. I hear they have really good food, too.
They do have very good food. I can testify to that. A couple other things going on around town is Friday's Art Walk. It's the 40th annual event being put on by the Pendere Arts Council. It's great. You get a stroll around downtown from 5:30 to 8 p.m. Check out art from at different exhibitions at stores. You can identify them by the little signs in their windows. And, of course, there's a map to all the locations. It's all free. They have hors d'oeuvres. It's really a lot of fun. You see a lot of other people from around town. You see some really great art by our local artists as well.
And I think there's music playing in some of the locations.
Yeah.
So it is a fun thing. It's a traditional kind of go out Friday. As you say, it's Friday night?
It is Friday.
And then the art openings continue on through the month, I think.
Yeah, well, the art stays up for a couple months,
okay.
Typically. And I want to mention another important bit of news that the Ospreys at Memorial Field had their first chick hatch out on Sunday at about 11:30 a.m. And, of course, there's a webcam on that nest, so you can actually see the Ospreys taking care of their young ones. They have a second egg in the nest, so that second little chick is probably going to arrive any day now. It's quite an accomplishment for a chick to get out of those eggs. You know, they got to peck their way out. The mom doesn't help them get out at all.
So it probably indicates they're strong enough to be out in the ravaging world.
The first thing they have to do, is fight their way out of that egg. And it can take several hours. You can actually see via the webcam when the first little peck in the egg starts happening, and then they're working at it.
How many eggs are in the nest again?
Actually, there were three eggs this year, but one egg, the very first one, slipped down when the male osprey brought in some more nest-building material, and it got caught under some material, and it's not even visible. And it's not going to be viable because they haven't been able to reach it. They have to rotate these eggs a couple times a day.
And keep them warm.
Yeah, they got to keep them warm. So there's three eggs. There are two. Hopefully, they're going to be viable. One obviously is because the chick's already out, and the chick looks like it's thriving. So,
and Chris, I know some of these cams are wildly popular. How many people tune into this cam from time to time?
It kind of goes up and down. When there's a lot of activity, you see a surge, people going to check it out. But last month it had over 20,000 page views, and a lot of those people are repeats, but well over 10,000 different individuals came to check out the cam. And it's there are a bunch of cams now around the area. Coeur d'Alene has a cam on a couple of nests. There's some cams on osprey nests in Montana. But I will say the Sandpoint Osprey cam is very good quality, actually.
Special birds, too.
Yeah, and it's kind of fun because you can see Memorial Field down below. And occasionally the cam will get shifted off so you can see other parts of the field. And when the festival is there, actually, usually the birds are pretty well grown, but they're not big enough yet to fledge out of the nest. So you can see the ospreys and you can see the festival happening down below. So that's pretty cool.
Okay, well, I think it's time to get to our interview, and I would like to say once again, welcome Jeremy Grimm to our studios here at KRFY. You were the public relations coordinator, communications director at Cochava recently. Before that, planning and community development director at the city of Sandpoint. And now you have taken over as the program officer at the Lohr Foundation. So the first question would be, what is the Lohr Foundation? What is their mission? Tell us all about it.
Sure. Thanks again for having me today, Susie and Chris. And for those of you in radio land or in the internet, it's great to talk to you all again. I'm Jeremy Grimm, and I've been a member of this community for over 10 years. I have two small children, one of which was born here, and a lovely wife who's a nurse practitioner in the area. And I guess the first thing I want to say is just that, you know, this community is incredibly special. I think a lot of us know that. And it's a place that is near and dear to my heart. And it's one of the reasons that, I transitioned most recently from Cochava to the Lohr Foundation. You know, the Lohr Foundation is a family foundation that works in the Intermountain West. We do work in Montana, Idaho, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico. And we focus on livability issues, livability for rural communities. You know, we believe that rural communities are critically important to the health of America, and that the residents of those communities really need a great vehicle and mechanism to sort of drive and direct their future and to enhance the livability of their communities. So LOAR stands for Livability, Opportunity, Responsibility. Livability, we're dedicated to making rural communities better places. Opportunity, we believe that there's an untapped opportunity to give residents a voice in how to improve the quality of life in their community. And finally, responsibility, and that's on us, the LOAR Foundation. We have a responsibility to the communities that we partner with to ensure that our grant making is effective and helps achieve the community's vision. In a nutshell, we help to facilitate conversation around several key areas and to help make things happen, connect people, fund projects, fund technical assistance. There's quite a broad variety of work that we do.
I'm going to guess a lot of people listening to this have never heard of the LOAR Foundation before. It's actually been active in Sandpoint for a while now. But before we talk about that, so where did the LOAR Foundation come from? You know, they work this Intermountain area, this area of emphasis. But can you tell us a little bit about how it was founded?
Sure. So the LOAR Foundation was started in 2007 by Amy Vies and her husband, Ed Jaramillo. They are based out of Taos, New Mexico, and Jackson, Wyoming. They live between those communities. And they met in Taos. And, you know, as they were spending time and living there, they recognized that rural communities in the West have a unique challenge. Sometimes they're, you know, great distances from urban centers. Their economies sometimes are, you know, really focused on a single economic driver. They might not have the diversity that they hope to have. And, you know, these rural areas are critically important to the health of America. They provide a lot of food, a lot of clean water, and certainly with the changes in communications today, communicating in rural communities is very difficult, whether you're a nonprofit or a government or just citizens looking for information. We've undergone a dramatic shift in the last few years with people getting information off of Facebook. We can see what's happening locally with the Daily Bee now sort of being run out of Coeur d'Alene and maybe the Reader coming in to fill that void. Point being here is that the LOAR Foundation is here to engage with community groups, local government, nonprofits, and really I'm here as a listening mechanism to really understand what are the challenges that this community is facing and to see how the LOAR Foundation can help these various groups and entities and our Sandpoint citizens and Ponderay citizens, you know, achieve their goals.
You know, dealing with small communities throughout the Intermountain West, I would imagine that the challenges we have here in Sandpoint are not unique. They're shared by other rural communities. And I think what I've observed in Sandpoint, my viewpoint is mostly through Sandpoint since I've lived here so long, but what I've observed in Sandpoint is this difficult transition we've been making and has seemed to have in large part made from traditional extractive industries. I'm talking about logging and mining and agriculture to a different sort of economy. And how can these small communities do that and remain healthy? Yeah. Is that part of the focus of the LOAR Foundation?
It is part of the focus, absolutely. You know, and you're right. The transition is challenging and difficult. How do we provide diversity so we're not tied to the roller coaster of a single commodity or a single, you know, sector, whether it's tourism or timber? How do you build a broad-based economy for a rural community? But we work primarily in four general areas. Protecting clean water, making sure that residents of rural communities have access to clean water, increasing access to trails and pathways, really providing opportunities for recreation, healthy activity, and connectivity between maybe pockets, neighborhoods, adjacent communities like Ponderay and Sandpoint. So water, trails and connectivity, and then community, placemaking, whether it's downtown revitalization or grant making to support economic diversity, anything that's going to build and strengthen and make these communities more resilient. And then finally, really looking for ways to use innovative communication technology to connect people. It's so hard in today's world for people in a community to connect. You know, we see a lot of folks going to Facebook for their, believe it or not, even their news source now, where anyone can put anything up. And, you know, how do you get people to have really great conversations and really listen and hear what are the issues in a community, and then how to have really healthy discussions about those issues and ultimately strengthen the community, move forward. And that's what our goal is to really listen. I've only been here for a month with Lore. So I'm really, this first phase of my work here is to listen, to engage with local government, nonprofits, community groups, really try to hear and understand what are the biggest challenges they're facing today, and how we can build and bring resources together to help the greater Sandpoint Ponderay area accomplish the goals that are on the table.
Up to this point, was there someone in our area, in this part of the region, the West, Rocky West region, that was focusing on our area? Or are you the first person in?
So there was a person who was responsible for this area. Let me step back and just explain briefly how LORE operates. We look at communities that have really great social capital and that are going to be good partners. Sandpoint and Ponderay are really, really special in the sense there are so many passionate people here. What do we have? Something like 100 and something nonprofits. I forget the number.
Over 200, yeah.
Yeah, it's really astonishing. So there's so much energy in this community and passion to make it a better place. So we work in communities and partner with communities where that sort of energy is there. And we are so privileged to have this community working with us and to be able to work with this community, because there is a lot of positive energy here. So we have a select few communities that we work in at a time. It's a very small organization, LORE. There's only 6 employees. So we did have a field worker who was responsible for the Sandpoint Ponderay area. But more recently, LORE decided that, you know, to have really meaningful engagement, we really need to have an officer, a program officer right here in town, someone who has the ability to go and engage and attend meetings and have frequent listening sessions and really be in the trenches, so to speak. So this is new to have a new officer here, my position here, and I'll be eventually having a very small desk office downtown where people can visit with me, or I'm happy to come visit with folks wherever they're at. So to answer your question, yes, this is new. We've been working here since 2013, worked on a variety of projects, including the Bay Trail. Many of you may be aware that LORE was pretty instrumental in the whole Bay Trail project coming together. Pine Street Woods.
They gave substantial financial support specifically.
So LORE works in a number of ways. We give direct financial support for projects. We provide technical assistance. Maybe there's a group of nonprofits who are really struggling to figure out how to tackle an issue. We might bring in subject matter experts from around the country to come in and provide either direct education on how to address an issue, or maybe even do a very technical study for them. We also support direct funding of capacity building for organizations that maybe they just need some help getting sort of the pump primed and building up their capacity so they can tackle these issues on their own. So we work in a number of ways, and we fund a variety of projects, but the Bay Trail, Pine Street Woods, the Curve project, we brought in some technical expertise for that.
I remember that, actually.
ITD and
brought in
city.
A consultant, basically,
right.
to look at that project and ultimately, the city decided to go with a different configuration because of the impact on that neighborhood.
That's right. That's right. Gary Toth was his name. He's a very well-respected traffic engineer. We've done some work in Ponderay, quite a bit, actually, on sort of trying to help their government and their planners kind of understand how they're going to grow and work on an underpass option to connect Ponderay to the north end of the Bay Trail. And then we've done some other projects throughout the general Sandpoint Ponderay area. Mm-hmm. So, Laura's been active for a number of years in the area, and we're going to step up that involvement with my being here and with this position being open.
So it's kind of amazing. It actually has had a large impact on the community already, and yet I'm going to guess most folks haven't even heard of Laura Foundation, but. You're going to change all that, Jeremy, right?
Yeah. You know,
bring it up, raise the awareness of what Laura is doing here.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Laura, has, again, as I mentioned, been around since 2007 when it was founded. But, it's a small organization. It's reiterating and iterating and learning about how to do this. One of the things the founders are critically focused on is being different than most philanthropic organizations. So we want to be different. We want to be real, genuine, and we want to really engage these communities where we're partners. So historically, Laura's sort of been behind the scenes, available to partner and work with communities. But more recently, Laura's made the decision that we want to really be upfront, visible, and really be accessible to folks who want to partner with us in this community.
It sounds like it's not just about writing a grant for funding. Laura wants to come in, understand this community, support this community in many different ways. You might be a nonprofit, if I'm understanding this right, that needs organizational development and bring in a consultant to help understand how to facilitate a healthy organization so that they can do their work. So some of it's, as you say, technical support or direct consulting, and some of it would be funding.
That's absolutely right, Susie. We want to invest in locally driven solutions that strengthen the economic opportunities, enhance the quality of life of the greater Sandpoint area. So these are not lore decisions. These are not lore directives. I'm really here to listen and support and help these entities, again, whether they're governments in Sandpoint, local government, nonprofits, other organizations or groups, here to listen and try to work together to see how I can bring resources to bear, how the Laura Foundation can bring resources to bear that really achieve the goals that these various community groups want to achieve. And at the end of the day, leave Sandpoint as a stronger, more resilient, more capable community where these organizations can function and foster great communication amongst our residents.
So how did Laura Foundation discover Sandpoint? They've been active here since about 2013.
That's a great question, Chris, and I wish I knew. I've only been here for a month on board, so I'm still getting up to speed on the whole initial history here. But it's my understanding that, Lore is always looking for communities that are rural in nature in the Intermountain West and where there's a real passion and a real opportunity to partner. So I worked initially with Lore when I was at the city of Sandpoint. And I got to tell you, it's so refreshing. A lot of these foundations and granting entities, you write these grant applications and you hope, and they have a box, and you have to fit your project into the box, and it has to be just right. And when I was at the city on this other side of the table working with Laura, it was so refreshing. They reached out and asked if the city was interested in some support or assistance or what we needed, and there weren't any boxes. It was very flexible. It was very willing. They were willing to meet us, the city of Sandpoint, where we were. And really a genuine interest in supporting our desire to address our issues, our goals, and just simply wanting to be there to help and assist. So it's a really unique and different perspective to grant making and philanthropy.
One of the things you mentioned was that the goal is for you to come in, get a sense of this community, and you're already part of the community. So that's a first step that is really good. But it sounded like there was almost an ending to this support from the Lohr Foundation. Is it a beginning and an end? Is there a time limit on the support that will come from Lohr?
You know, that's a great question, Susie. And obviously, there's a beginning when you first engage with a community and start to build those relationships. And the end is there's no set end date. I think, we want to be successful. We want the community to be successful. That's going to be one of the measurements of when we sort of, start to reduce our involvement in the community. But there's no set end date. You know, at this point, I'm just starting to ramp up, really starting to engage with a variety of different groups in the community, and just trying to understand and hear what are the pressing issues, what do we need to bring groups together, how do we start to, build the capacity of these groups, these partnerships, and what is needed to identify and solve the challenges that we face here in Sandpoint as changes occurring, changes, we've got different demographics moving into the area. We've got, development of land occurring. We've got downtown activity occurring. There's a lot of change occurring. And Lohr just wants this community to be, have the capability to respond to that change and to have the structure in place that they can tackle whatever issues come their way in the future and be resilient and strong. And really enhance livability for this general region. So there's no end date that's been identified. We are tenacious. We're going to be successful. We're going to help a lot of people here. And we're really going to help people implement their vision of what success is.
And if you're just tuning in, this is the 88.5 KRFY Morning Show with hosts Chris and Susie. We're speaking this morning with Jeremy Grimm. He is the new program officer for the Lohr Foundation, which stands for Livability, Opportunity, Responsibility. And it's based in...
We work all over the Rocky Mountains. Yeah. Our team is based in now Sandpoint, Bozeman, Montana, Jackson, Wyoming, and Taos, New Mexico.
And you're the new presence for them here, and actually you probably have an office pretty shortly, I imagine.
That's correct. Yeah. Yep. And if anyone's interested in more information, you can go to lohrfoundation.org. You can learn a little bit more about us, and there's some information on how to contact me there.
Yeah, and there's even information, I'm looking at the website right now, there's even information on some of these early projects that Lohr has been involved in right here in Sandpoint. I actually got a number of things I still want to ask you.
And myself also.
Yes.
This is a great conversation, and it's very exciting. The Lohr Foundation's approach and their mission is, as you said, unique. It's different, and it's got a more broad-based look at support for a community such as ours, and I'd like to hear more, too, however.
But we're going to take a music break and give you a minute to catch your breath, Jeremy. Okay. What do we got queued up?
Well, Susie? This was actually Jeremy's choice. It's Mark Knopfler and Emmylou Harris. This is Us. And that's what you're trying to do, find out right now, even though you've lived here for a while, is find out who we are. And this is the song you picked. This is Us. We'll be right back with more with Jeremy Grimm and the Lohr Foundation. Stay with us. And that was Mark Knopfler and Emmylou Harris. This is Us. And this is KRFY. This is the morning show with Chris and Susie. And we're in the studio with Jeremy Grimm. He's the program officer for the Lohr Foundation. Again, stands for Livability, Opportunity, Responsibility. And I think Chris had some more questions for Jeremy.
Jeremy, so you outlined four areas that the Lohr Foundation works in specifically: water, trails, and connectivity, community, and communication technology. Of course, our little town can use help in all these things, right? We have different groups that are invested in all these things. But we live in such a divided time politically, and we see that here locally as well as, of course, nationally. Is it part of the Lohr Foundation to help communities find common ground in things that everybody agrees we want to do? Or is that even possible? I don't know what the Lohr Foundation might interact with this.
We're not a PAC. We don't get directly involved in political issues. But what I can tell you is that we are here to help the community succeed and to thrive and to be resilient and to have the tools and achieve the goals that are unique to Sandpoint and Ponderé. So, to answer your question, can we help facilitate and work with, division in the community or political philosophies? I think we can do that by making sure that there's great communication, by, understanding what are the issues facing this community, and then facilitating discussion and solutions that address those issues. So in a roundabout way, we desire, there's a lot of work to do here. There's a lot of opportunity here. There's a lot of great partners. And we desire to really engage with those partners and really sit down, listen, understand, and then help bring resources to bear to help those various groups, those diverse groups collaborate, work more efficiently maybe. Maybe there's three or four groups all trying to accomplish the same goal, and there's a way to work together to do that more efficiently. So we have a very diverse and unique approach that's not going to be in a cookie cutter kind of theme. We're going to be open to all sorts of ideas, all sorts of opportunities. But at the end of the day, it's all going to be derived from Sandpoint organizations, Sandpoint government, Sandpoint residents, Sandpoint and Ponderé, this general region. And we want to make sure that the challenges and concerns facing the organizations, that we can bring some solutions to help these organizations.
It sounds like being very creative in our thinking as a community will be enhanced by the support from the Lohr Foundation.
Absolutely. And, I can tell you, I'm going to be bringing, partners together, maybe some people who've never worked together before. I'll be, visiting with one group and I'll hear them say, these are our pressing issues. I'll be visiting with another group and, the light bulb will go off and I'll say, you two need to be collaborating. You share a lot of common themes and challenges, and maybe your objectives are all very similarly aligned. Let's think of ways that we can work together to accomplish your mutual goals. So yes, lots of flexibility, lots of work to do though. There are hundreds of nonprofits in this community. There are many diverse views, and we want to make sure that there's a robust discussion about these challenges that the community is facing. And that, we can help build the communication pathways, whether that's, enhancing, communication channels or thinking of new channels, new ways for people to communicate. We want to make sure that there's great discussion and that everyone's viewpoint can get out there and be considered with respect.
On that subject of communication, and you kind of addressed this earlier, that rural communities are in a time when we're seeing communication powered so much more by the internet. Some rural communities, they're off the superhighway, if you will. We're fortunate that we have the superhighway coming through town in a sense, because we do have a fiber optic line that comes along the railroad tracks, I believe.
That's right.
And we're just, the city is just now figuring out how to tap into that. Is that something that Lohr Foundation is working with and is helping these rural West communities figure out how to use the new technology to power their communities to build up their economies?
It's not off the table. If it's a goal of the community of the Ponderé and Sandpoint area, we would certainly be engaged in and look to see how we can help support those efforts and move them along. But when I talk about communication, it's really about, in today's fast-paced, busy world where we all have these different bits of information and maybe struggle to get to a meeting or don't know that an issue or a topic's being discussed somewhere, how can we create paths of communication that are effective. And this is something we struggled with at the city of Sandpoint, with two working parents and jobs and babysitters. How do you get people to engage in the issues that affect them? So when I speak of communication and applying technology, helping these local organizations build their capacity, and maybe that's e-newsletters, maybe that's email blast, maybe it's a community calendar that an organization doesn't have the ability to, effectively work with their technology, on their computers to build that. Maybe it's something innovative like crowdfunding or crowd engagement, where we get a lot of regional residents giving feedback and input on a subject. So communication, really just looking at new and innovative ways for all the organizations in our region to really connect.
So more of an inner community.
Correct.
Communication is what the focus is on.
That's accurate.
Yeah. And that is really an area that is of... it's a frustration for people in local government, because they'll often be working on projects that get to the point of they've had tons of public hearings. You saw this, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
And they're all ready to go with something, and then all of a sudden people discover it, and there's the people that oppose it come in at very late in the game, or changes get proposed or things like that. And it sounds like the Lohr Foundation would be aiming to help get the communication happening earlier.
Correct. Yeah. And that's just, for individual entities and organizations, and then more broadly for the area as a whole.
It sounds like community radio has a role to play in communication within the community. I could see having conversations here on the radio, maybe not like the morning show, but specific. If there was a subject up for the city and they want feedback from their citizens, have that conversation here on the radio. This is a nonprofit radio station. It is a community radio station, and it could be a forum for that kind of information gathering and information giving.
Absolutely. This is absolutely a media source and a channel that's for all those who are listening either on the web today or on the radio live. Absolutely. Radio is one medium, but we have social media today. We have online news, quasi-news publications. And I think what's really interesting, look what's happening with the Bee right now and the Reader. For those who aren't aware, our historical daily newspaper lost its editor a couple months ago. And now they're backfilling a lot of that information, a lot of that news from the Coeur d'Alene area. That's not local. That's not Sandpoint. And I just saw in this week's Reader that they are adding new writers and editors who are going to be covering more and expanding their local coverage. So, Lohr is really about local. We want to make sure that this community can realize its full potential, and that we can enhance the livability here. And the other thing I want to really emphasize is, Lohr is not a handout. It's really a hand up. I know that's cliche and people hear it all over, but that's a great way to think of the Lohr Foundation. Is we're really here to partner, and we're excited to partner with the groups here to really give them that hand up and really help build the capacity, identify the challenges that this community is facing, and then help build solutions towards those challenges.
There's no argument there. That's perfect, because no organization wants to be dependent on that funding. That do we get it every year? Can we, make it through another year? But to find the avenues and partnerships that can support long-term fiscal health is a good thing.
Absolutely.
Well, it's the proof of viability of an organization and the things that it works on is that it becomes self-sufficient and self-sustaining.
I want to point out that we're interested in being creative. So there, like I said before, there's no, box that you have to fit into to engage and work with the Lohr Foundation. It's all about creativity. We're going to experiment. We're going to try some things. Some things will work. Some things won't work. We're all about learning, being a partner that's going to grow and learn and really move forward with these challenges and address them and face them head on. And at the end of the day, it's going to be a more resilient, more viable, more diverse economy and enhanced livability with trails, connections between our communities, preserved and protected water quality, and then community viability and diversity and economic diversity. It's a pretty broad set. So there's quite a bit of work to be done. I'm really excited about it.
Every one of those words sounded good. I was thinking of the word interconnected too, you know, the voice of our youth, the voice of our seniors, the voice of the different people in our community, finding ways for us to listen to each other, hear each other, and engage.
Yep.
So you're a program officer based in Sandpoint, but is Sandpoint your sole focus, or will you work on other Idaho or Montana with other communities in the lower footprint?
So we have regional partners as well, but the actual work that is occurring, my primary focus is the Sandpoint Pondere area. Yeah. And it will be for many years. And then beyond that, you know, we'll look to learn things here. What are the lessons learned from the work that's occurred here? We would love to use any lessons as national models. Have there been outcomes and results that really should be replicated in other small towns across the West? So there's a ton of opportunity here for us to really, chart our own path as a community and look at solutions that are unique to Sandpoint Pondere and
test those waters. And also become a model maybe for other small communities.
Absolutely.
That are undergoing these same stresses and the change that the West is seeing in their small communities. Yeah,
absolutely. Although we're unique, at the same time, there's a lot of similarities between the Sandpoint Pondere area, as there are in many rural communities in the Intermountain West. So, yes, those opportunities to learn and to test and experiment and succeed or maybe fail at things, it's all quite flexible and open. So I want to just emphasize, I'm so thrilled to be working in this community. Again, you know, moving from Coachava to the Lohr Foundation, to wake up every morning and know that you have the opportunity to engage in your community and help people and work with your friends and neighbors to work towards their goals and their vision. That's something that motivates me. And I tell you, Coachava was amazing, and I'm thrilled with the success they're having. But this is what really gets my blood pumping in the morning when I wake up and know that I can get out there and really work with my neighbors and others in the area and work towards some really great achievable goals. So,
and knowing you just a little bit, I know that this must be, like you just said, a dream job because of who you are and how fortunate. Congratulations. And how fortunate for our community to have the Lohr Foundation come in and be interested and help us be as viable and creative and wonderful a community as possible. So
if people want to get a hold of you, how do they do that?
You know, I would recommend folks go to lohrfoundation.org, and you can learn a little bit more about what we do. There's some videos on there if you have the capability to watch a video about some work we've done in the Sandpoint area. There's other videos about what we've done, some work in the Jackson area, Jackson, Wyoming, and Taos, New Mexico area. And then my contact information is on there. You can email me and love to hear from folks. Whether it's me coming to your group or organization and listening, or ideally a group of organizations collaborating, coming up with a great idea, a great solution, and coming to me and saying, hey, here's a wild idea. These are our challenges. We want to work together to achieve this. What are your thoughts? I guess the key thing I want to emphasize is that this is going to take community effort. I'm not here to do, you know, the heavy lifting of figuring out the solutions. I'm here to encourage and support these organizations to build towards these solutions and identify these challenges, and then ultimately provide some resources to help them accomplish those goals.
Great. Well, Jeremy, you got a lot to do.
Yeah, I think your inbox is going to get a little fuller today.
It's exciting. It's really exciting. And it's a broad group that we work with. Pondere Peddlers, Friends of the Bay Trail,
Kinnickshue Land Trust,
Sandpoint, City of Sandpoint, City of Ponderay, and on and on and on. So there's well, really
it's just getting started, really.
It really is.
I've already had an impact, but it's great to have you on here to talk about the Lohr Foundation, because again, I think a lot of people do not know that the foundation has been making an impact in our community already, and now, of course, kind of throwing down and making
doubling down on
Sandpoint, Idaho. That's great.
Well, thank you for coming in. And you know, if something comes up and you have need to get the word out, contact us and we'll be here for you. And you can come back on and give us an update or whatever.
Well, thanks so much, Susie and Chris. It's been an honor and a pleasure to be here. And I look forward to being back in the future to update you on some of our successes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hopefully get some other groups up here that we're working with and really move us towards that goal of enhancing the livability of the greater Sandpoint Ponderay area.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for coming in. This is 88.5 KRFY. This is The Morning Show with Chris and Susie. Now we're going to take a short musical break. And Jeremy, you have a choice here. You kind of picked these songs this morning. You have Bruce Springsteen, My Hometown, which is, or Iris DeMent, Our Town.
You know, Susie, I love them both. Just the point here is, you know, this is about our community. This is about our town. Actually, I'm going to go with the Bruce Springsteen.
Okay. That's fine with me.
And this is about us all working together, collaborating in the area towards a shared vision and, you know, the future, which is, it can be incredibly bright for us.
It's really a testament to the fact that we're very grateful to live in such an amazing place. So here we go. Bruce Springsteen, My Hometown. We'll be back with just a little bit more of The Morning Show right after this. And that was Bruce Springsteen, My Hometown. Appropriate song for this morning. We've been visiting with Jeremy Grimm, who is the program officer for the Lohr Foundation, focusing on enhancing and bringing viability to our community in many different ways.
And if you didn't hear the program, you can wait till earlier, a little bit later in the afternoon, and we'll have a podcast up if you missed that talk with Jeremy on our website, krfy.org. Click on the podcast page and you can hear what you missed about the Lohr Foundation engaging in our community and going to be doing some amazing things, I think. Susie, I forgot to mention one thing that's important about today.
What's that, Chris?
It's Flag Day.
It's Flag Day.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I
have flags out today.
Well, yeah. If I would like to encourage folks to put your flag out.
What's the background with that thought? I mean... Well, the reason we have flag, you know, it's to celebrate the flag.
I know it's not an official national holiday, but it's been observed for many years, and just out of respect for the flag and the country, I believe, but I don't have the histories.
Oh, that's okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
Just a quick, we want to thank everyone who turned out for our annual membership drive this weekend. It was really fun. We were up here in the studios. So thank you to everyone who called in, came in, sent donations via check or PayPal, and to become a member or to renew their membership. So thank you. Thank you. It was really fun having people right here in the studio. We had nonstop 12 hours of live broadcasting from 8 in the morning to 8 at night for 2 days.
Yeah, with a whole variety of folks from the community, our broadcasters, of course, but also people that are involved in nonprofit groups. We had musicians. We had just listeners come in and tell us, you know, about why they like KRFY as a community radio station. So it was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun, and we ended it with, we did some live streaming on Facebook with some bands that were playing, the RFB band. Thank you to them. They were set up, big, huge band, lots of noise. It was really fun.
And of course, it was our membership drive, and if you missed it, that doesn't mean you can't be a member right now. You can go to krfy.org and make a donation there with a donate button, or of course you could always call us. We don't have anybody on the phone right now, but you leave a message. Our number is 265-2992. We survive due to the generosity of the people that listen and think a community radio station is important. So if you think that's the case, then please do make a donation and become a KRFY member.
Yeah, it takes a community of KRFY listeners to keep KRFY, viable and on the air.
Yes, it does.
That's the bottom line. Yep. And tomorrow on the morning show, I just want to get this in real quick. An exclusive interview. It's a recorded interview with world-renowned singer-songwriter
Judy Collins.
So you can tune in for this special recorded interview and hear about her summer tour with Stephen Stills and her recent album of Stephen Sondheim's songs. Jim Healy was fortunate enough to have the opportunity to sit down.
Jim Healy got to have an exclusive interview with
Judy Collins.
A phone
interview.
That's pretty cool.
It's very cool. So we hope you have a beautiful day. We're going to say goodbye.
Yep.
This is Martha Reeves and the Vandals, Dancing in the Streets. I'm pretty sure that's what's going to come on. Or else Iris DeMent, Our Town, just a moment of that. But have a beautiful day.
Okay, bye now.